Welcome to you. Great to have you. Thanks for coming from Thailand to speak to us this morning. Looking forward to hearing what Jack's got to say and just what God's doing in Thailand. So to give Jack most time of all, I've only got half an hour now, so I'm going to pray and hand straight over to Jack. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that the Lord Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Lord, we thank you that that commission is going out throughout the whole world today. Thank you for your work here in the UK. Thank you for what you're doing in Thailand and around the world today. We pray you'd bless us now. You'd enlarge our hearts and our vision of what you're doing in the world this morning. Bless Jack. Thank you for him. Would you encourage him as he shares with us today? We pray this for Jesus' glory. Amen. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you so much, Pete. Amazing. Good to see everyone. Some of the children are massive. It's good to see you. Good to be back in England. I had a bowl of Shreddies. Rossi, you'll be glad to know. I took a leaf out of Rossi's book and had a bowl of Shreddies this morning with some banana. It was delicious. I don't get Shreddies in Thailand. So it's great to be back. It's great to be back and to see you all. And yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to share about what's been going on in Thailand, but more just to inform you guys about what's been going on, but also to encourage you guys in your global mission, because you know everyone's a missionary, right? It's not just the missionaries. Everyone's a missionary. Every Christian's a missionary. So we've all got a part in God's global mission, and Binscombe Church is crucial to God's global mission. God's got a plan for Binscombe Church to share the gospel to the nations in Binscombe, in Godalming, throughout the whole world. So I hope that it will inspire us as a body of Christ, as a body of believers, collectively together as a team, to each go out in our own ministries to go and share the gospel wherever we are as a church. But Thailand, beautiful country. I'm going to just, hopefully there's time for, I should get my phone because otherwise I'll run out of time. My phone is somewhere. Oh, no, it's not. It's in my car. Does anyone have a watch with like is that all right? Amazing, amazing. Just if you can give me 10 minutes, tell me when there's 10 minutes to go, Pete. Is that all right? Sorry. Otherwise, I'll just go on. So Thailand, it's over there. Not many Christians. It's a similar population size to England, 70 million, but there's very few Christians. And for some reason, even though the gospel's been around for 400 years, in Thailand, even though there's been missionaries from the 1600s to the 1800s, the Catholics went there. From the 1800s to now, there's been Protestant missionaries there. Despite 400 years of missionary activity, missionaries going there, there's, just to put it in perspective, there's 5,000 missionaries in Chiang Mai, the city I've lived in for 4 years, 5,000 missionaries. In the country of Laos, which borders Thailand, there's only 120 missionaries in the whole country. But Thailand's awash with missionaries, but for some reason, the indigenous Thai people aren't very receptive. There's freedom of religion. That's one reason why lots of missionaries go to Thailand, because if they want to reach China or they want to reach Burma or some of these more difficult places to reach, Vietnam or Laos, they'll base themselves in Thailand. That's partly why there's missionaries there. But still a lot needs to be done in Thailand. Why do I love Thailand? The food, amazing food. That's crispy pork on the right there. It's crispy pork with kale, Khmer Mugro. It's delicious. I have that pretty much every day. And Thais are very hospitable. They love sitting around and having food. A Thai greeting is Gin Khao Ruyang, which is, have you eaten yet? You know, we say, how are you? Isn't it raining? Isn't the weather terrible today? Or nice weather today, isn't it? Thais don't do that. They just talk about food. What did you have for lunch? Was it good? Was it delicious? That's the sort of conversation starter for a Thai person. This is my friend Pro at the bottom, tucking into his third plate of food. And the people in Thailand are so unbelievably friendly. It's hard to... They're lovely people. Thai people are lovely. Lovely, friendly, quite shy, very polite, but wonderfully friendly people. You know, there's a Thai smile. Delightful people. A quiet people, very quiet, polite sort of people. A respectful, yeah. Anyway, their country is beautiful, stunning country. I like zooming around on my motorbike. Sometimes if I get a break, I'll go zoom around the mountains on my motorbike. It's stunningly beautiful. Where I am in Chiang Mai, it's the north of Thailand, where there's lots of mountains, mountainous area. Then there's the beaches down south as well. On the right, there's the Mekong River that borders Thailand and Laos. The photos at the top was what me and my friend Im and some other friends, we went on the Mae Hong Song loop, which is a loop around the mountains, around different cities around near Chiang Mai. Let's keep zooming on. So the churches in Thailand have this vision that the National Association of Churches in Thailand has a 111 vision that by the year 2028 they want to have 1 million Christians in Thailand, 10,000 churches, 10,000 pastors. In this house church movement in central Thailand, that's not where I am, is exploding at the moment. There's been mass baptisms of hundreds of people at one time through this house church revival movement that actually happened during COVID in central Thailand. That's unprecedented. That's really exciting. I hear rumors of it. I see the pictures of it. I haven't seen it where I am. So it's quite frustrating, but I really would love to see this happening in North Thailand and in Northeast Thailand, where I am. But praise God, this movement's still spreading, and I think it's that this house church movement was a very effective way to reach Thai people during COVID time. So the church is growing in Thailand, and they've got a great vision, and it's going in Thailand. Yeah. So I thought I'd just recap the 4 years, because I've been in Thailand for 4 years, and it's been a really, I don't know if I mentioned, but I'm very grateful to Binskom Church for sending me to Thailand, because it's been transformative for me. It's been a real life changer. I've learned a lot, every day learning something new. So I'll just recap my 4 years very briefly in Thailand. I first went as a teacher at Grace International School. That's an international school in Chiang Mai, teaching missionary kids, and they were delightful kids. They gave me a football on my last day. They were the nicest kids you could hope to teach. Lots of their parents in full-time missions work in Chiang Mai or in Southeast Asia. I used to salute them, so the grade 9 boys one day all decided to dress like me and do a salute as a sort of joke, so that was quite funny. They were amazing. Eventually I just thought, this is great teaching missionary kids, but I want to do what their parents are doing. I want to be a missionary as well. So I left Grace International School. I thought it was an amazing place, amazing place to work, but I just thought that there seemed like there was other opportunities outside there. I wanted to sort of spread out a little bit. So I ended up going down the road, about 5 minutes down the road, to another school. It's called School of Promise. It's a school founded by a Christian, an American Christian missionary for Thai children, a small private Christian school for Thai children. And I taught the middle school there. I was teaching there last year. For 1 year, the middle school and the grade five kids. And again, the most delightful kids. I mean, honestly, Marjo, Uljo kids, legendary. I wouldn't say anything about. But these kids are taking it to another level, you know. The kids at Charterhouse Ed, lovely. But these kids honestly take it to another level of sweetness, respect, whatever. Where am I going here? Oh, I need to go right. I'm going to miss these kids. I only taught them for 1 year. They were lovely. These are my grade five kids. Teaching them English. I was teaching them English. So at Grace International School, I was teaching religious studies. And then at School Promise, I was teaching English. And so then a few months ago, I finished at School Promise. And during that time, while I was working at Grace, while I was working at School of Promise, I realized there's just so many opportunities to share the gospel in Chiang Mai itself. So there's a ministry we've been doing with the Thai Eye Kids. There's lots of tribal groups in Thailand. They come down from the mountains around Burma. Lots of them come as refugees from the war in Burma. And there's all these tribal groups, the Thai Eyes, I sort of like the work, they're sort of the workers. They're given very quite tough jobs. Lots of the parents don't have citizenship, so people take advantage of them a bit and give them hard, very hard grafting type construction jobs. These kids live on a construction site. Few of them have passports. Very poor children, but were lovely children, and it was great to share the gospel with them. Eventually, some of them started coming to church. So it's great to bring some of them to church and some of their parents to church as well. And I just continue to pray for them, because I'm not going to see them for a while. And I know there's other missionaries visiting their construction site where they live. So we pray for them, the Thai Eye kids. I don't know why, but I keep on meeting Thai Eye people in Chiang Mai. I have a heart for the Thai people, but God keeps bringing me to Thai Eye people. They have a different language. They're a different people group in Thailand. Thailand, there's actually a whole, you know, you've got all these tribes. It's very confusing, but you've got all these tribes. You've got the Akas, you've got the Lahu, you've got the Karen, you've got the Lawa, you've got all of these tribal groups milling around in Chiang Mai, and it's very confusing. So I won't go into it. We did a holiday Bible club, and some of the Thai Eye kids came. That was fun. We ran that just last month. That was really great. Again, it was interesting. Again, normally as being as a minion on Marjo's, summer camps. You know, it was interesting terrifying to actually lead a camp for the first time ever. There was a ministry we did in the local market where I got some of my would be getting my food every day. There's lots of kids there. We did a Bible study there. And eventually partnered with a local church, which is also doing a kids ministry and doing some outreach in the market. So I love doing that. Of course, love Mehir Market, because, you know, sometimes your heart follows your food, sadly, and if you're anything like me. And so I got a lot of my food there, and I ended up knowing lots of people in the market and lots of people who work very hard, these Thai people working very hard, lots of them with debts and working menial jobs, just trying to pay the rent and not much time to think about spiritual things. But great to share the gospel there. And then really exciting the last few months going to the Tarpe Gate, which is like the sort of Trafalgar Square of Chiang Mai, where all the nations come, everyone from the Koreans, you've got your Japanese, your Chinese, you've got everyone milling around there, all these tourists, you've got your Thai people, you've got your British, drunk British tourists there, you've got everybody there. And we've got an international team, and we can preach the gospel to them and tell them, Jesus is the King of the nations, you can be saved in the name of Jesus. And then sometimes brothers from Pakistan come. On the right there was a pastor from Pakistan who came and preached on the street, or brothers from India, and Tarpe Gate, it's amazing. Every day someone comes who needs healing, or someone comes who needs prayer, lots of weeks, many weeks, someone would receive Jesus on the street, or we'd tell them about a church or whatever. So it was a really exciting ministry, although quite hard for follow-up. And I think the challenge for this one was we'd be trying to follow up these people, and they would be on the other side of the city, or they would just, you get their number, you try calling them, and it was hard to reach them. So it was very, Chiang Mai is a bit of a revolving door. People come and people go. And so I'm an example. I'm moved on now. I'm not going to be going back there. So it's fun, it's exciting, but it can be sad when you lose touch with people. But that ministry is still going on. Nicholas, the guy on my right there, and Jenny, a blonde lady, they're two British missionaries, and they're carrying on that work. And Nicholas is carrying on a Bible study with some of the new believers at a coffee shop near the gate. So we just hope that, we just pray that work continues. And then we did these assemblies, school assemblies, going around sharing the gospel in the government schools, because I was teaching these Christian schools for 4 years, and being like, okay, these kids hear the gospel all the time. What about the kids in the massive government school down the road where there's 1,000 kids? Who's telling them about Jesus? All they hear is bow to Buddha and everything. Who's going to tell them? So I partnered with an organization called Reach Chiang Mai. My friend Nick, the guy on the right, just standing to my right in that photo, that's his organization. And we got to go for Christmas time, we got to go and we realized there's a massive open door in the government schools. They will happily let you in and teach them English, and teach them Jesus as well. As long as you teach them English, they'll happily let you come in and tell them the gospel. So we did that during Christmas, and in May in Christmas last year, we reached 10,000 kids with the gospel. I know it's not all about numbers, but just shows how many there's so many kids in these schools that need to be reached. Then last month we did a King Charles outreach. So we went to tell them, hey, we've got a new king, the King of England, King Charles. Let's teach you a bit of English, because isn't England great? And by the way, there's an even greater king, King Jesus. And so that was awesome to do that. And then my friend Nicholas has a vision for 100,000 kids at Christmas, which is going to need teams in different cities in Thailand. So we're really hoping to expand that this Christmas time. We'll see what happens with there. We pray for that vision. Please pray for that vision to reach the kids. And please pray for the follow-up, that we could partner with the churches near the school so they could be some of these kids could be followed up. There's some photos from the school's outreaches that we've done. Love playing Thais, love playing Thai kids, very playful, love games, singing, dancing, stuff like that. These are trainee Buddhist monks, like boys. They couldn't play any of our games, they just had to sit at the back of the assembly, but we could still share the gospel with them, give them a gospel, a comic. This is my home church. Well, sorry, no, you're my home church. I'm getting confused. This is my home church in Thailand. And this was my farewell party a few weeks ago when I left. Some people came, some of the Thai kids came, some of the Thai parents came, which was great. It's been a really great way, a great community for me over there. It's a Thai-led church, and great way of learning Thai as well, because you know you have to sing and read the Bible in Thai, and it's like a multi-language sensory experience thing. You meet your Thai brothers and sisters in Christ, and you have to talk to them. So really grateful for that church. This is the youth group. This is on the youth group weekend away at the church. And I was so thrilled that one of the two Thai friends, Jem on the left, who we met at the Tarpe Gate, who received Christ at the Tarpe Gate, and then Mae Sue, who's one of the mums of the Thai kids from May here, they both started coming to church, and they came to church three or four times, really. And it was great to introduce them to my Thai pastor, and he got to explain the gospel to them a bit better than I could with my ropey Thai. And both of them testified to receiving healing from Jesus. We still pray for a miracle for Mae Sue, because she's got lots of health problems. Jem accepted Jesus, but with lots of financial problems. He's got no job, he's got a job now. He had nowhere to live, no transport, you know, he was not eating, he was just in a state. And Mae Sue, her first husband's in prison, you know, I won't go, there's just lots of social problems with these, you know, and it's almost like there's a lot of brokenness, and we just pray for you, just do pray they can come back to church, keep coming back, and just receive the healing in Jesus' name that they need. And I've been living in Chiang Mai Theological Seminary, which is just next door to my church, so I've been living there, and again, that for the last 2 years. It's a Bible college which trains Thai people to be pastors, Thai Christians to be pastors, but I've just been living there as like the resident, the weird, slightly awkward English missionary who doesn't tidy his room, and I do get told off by my Thai brothers and sisters who are very good at cleaning. Thais are very clean, and I am not, so that's been a real trial for them, and I just pray that they would forgive me for the hole I left in the wall on the last day, which I won't go into, trying to clean. I woke up at 3 a.m, resolved to leave my room spotless of the Bible college so as not to offend any more my Thai brothers and sisters, and ended up leaving two holes in the wall of the Bible college when moving aboard at about 6 a.m. before my flight left. So that was my parting gift to Chiang Mai Theological Seminary, is two holes in the wall, which I understand is still not being repaired. So we just pray for our pray for the relationships with the Chiang Mai Theological Seminary. And anyway, so I'm now going to Isan. So I was up there in Chiang Mai, and now there's this big area called Isan, which is this huge sort of rice field in northeast Thailand, where there's far fewer churches, even fewer than the rest of Thailand, far fewer Christians. And in right smack bang in the middle of Isan, there is Maha Salakam, which is a university town. And it's quite cool because students from all over Isan will go in to this university town. Half the population of the town is students. So I'm excited about going to a town that can reach the next generation, that can impact the next generation in an unreached people group, which is the Isan Thai. They share the language with Laos as well. So once, hopefully, if I learn Isan Thai, which is a dialect of Thai, then that will also open doors to go up to Laos as well. So I'm excited about going to Isan. We did a mission trip there, met some pastors from different churches there. There's some wonderful pastors there. We did an outreach on the street in Maha Salakam, and this church came and did an outreach. This guy preached the gospel for his first ever time. He preached the gospel was on the street. I said to him, "Dude, you've got to preach the gospel." He said, "No, I don't know why." I said, "Go on, do it." And he went and he preached the gospel. And I was really encouraged that I got to get a Thai Christian, plonk him in the middle of a street in a market in an unreached people group, tell him to preach the gospel. And afterwards he said, "Oh, thanks so much. He was really pumped and encouraged." So that's what I love doing, is getting the Thai people, sometimes dragging them by their collar and bringing them somewhere where they can share the gospel. Because I can't do it very well. They can do it much better than me. And this is the language school. This is the language school I'm going to be teaching at. It's called Maha Salakam Grace Language School. Again, started by missionaries. It's a private English center teaching English after school lessons to Thai children. So I'll be doing that in the evenings next year, starting in September. They're some of the kids I'll be teaching. We did a holiday club with them. They're, again, sweet Thai kids, same old story. Teaching them English, but as a way to tell them about Jesus. And on a run, when I was going for a run in Isan, it was great. I saw in this field, they're planting rice. They had a backpack on with a backpack full of rice with a sort of gun. It's like a rice planting gun. And they're just going down. I don't know if you can see these guys here in the field. They're going around and they're just shooting rice seeds into the field. And I got to share one of their friends, I got to share them the parable of the sower. You know, a man went out to sow his seed. Wouldn't it be cool if the Thai church became like these people and just shooting the gospel, just telling people the gospel everywhere they went, and so that there'd be a harvest so that people would be saved. So that's what we hope, that Isan doesn't just become the rice producer of Thailand physically, but also produces a spiritual harvest of souls for Jesus. And got 5 minutes. I wanted to. So that's what's going on in Isan, in Thailand. Thank you for sending me there. It's a great privilege to be there. I really wanted to just encourage as a church and say, hey, I think there's a sort of this idea of, you know, let's send this a missionary they're a missionary. And I really want to just say the church is a missionary. Our church and the global church is the missionary force for the world. And every believer, without exception, has a vital part to play in the Great Commission. So this is a team effort. And the world global mission won't be completed unless the whole church rises up and takes responsibility for the Great Commission, which Jesus has entrusted to us together as a church. And why should we do missions? So I just wanted to just inspire us that Jesus's mission is worth going on, and God has a plan for you individually and corporately as a church to share the gospel with the nations. In Binskim, in Farncombe, in Godalming, in London, in the UK, and the whole world. And who knows what God could do through Binscombe Church, through the building project, through the next generation of young people coming through this church, how God could impact the world through Binscombe Church, if the whole church catches that vision. So I wanted to just show some foundations for biblical mission. I mean, probably not really much time. But just to say, I'll just start with this. Genesis, the whole Bible is about missions. You know, God came to Abraham. He promised him, your seed, your offspring will possess the nations. Your offspring will bless the nations. And then in Galatians, it says that seed that God promised Abraham wasn't lots of people. It was just one person, Jesus Christ, who was going to bless the nations. And as Christians, we've come to know the blessing of knowing Jesus. He died for us. He rose from the dead to give us a relationship with God. So we've received the blessing through knowing Jesus Christ. We know Jesus. We know God. And on the last day in Revelation, I'll skip all of this cool stuff in Isaiah and Ephesians, but on the last day in Revelation, Jesus is going to be praised by people from every tribe and language. Will be before the throne worshiping Jesus because he shed his blood for them, because he died for them. So that's our story. We're part of that story. We're going to be there at the throne. Praise God, we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Isn't that amazing to know the one all history was pointing to know the one who gave his life for us, to know the Son of the living God? There's no greater privilege. And then we have the added privilege of sharing Jesus with other people, of being part of his bride, the church, his body, the salt and light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. The earth isn't going to get saved any other way except for us going and telling people we are the way God is scary, isn't it? But we are the way, the vehicle God has chosen to bring his mission. And it started in the book of Acts. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it was a ripple effect. That's how the gospel got to the United Kingdom. It transformed the whole Roman Empire. They sent the gospel to the United Kingdom, or Great Britain as it was then. And then Great Britain, the gospel transformed this country. We became a global missionary force. We sent these absolute legends out. Carrie transformed India. David Livingston took the gospel to Africa. Hudson Taylor took the gospel to inland China. In the 20th century, the Americans went out and took the gospel to all the different tribes. There was Jim Elliot got martyred to a tribe in Ecuador, taken to a tribe of cannibals in Ecuador. And then so there was his martyrdom just sprang this mission movement to all the tribes, to the Wycliffe Bible translators, getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. And now, after the UK and America have done their best to transform the world, we're in this crazy 21st century global village thing where there's missionaries from all over the world, from Brazil, from South Africa. In fact, there's more missionaries from the third world now going out than there are from the first world. And it's a very exciting time for the global church, where if the global church really got behind the Great Commission corporately, not just, oh, look, there's one missionary, like, you know, but we're all missionaries. I'm a missionary too. We're all missionaries. Let's all go out together. Then through these principles of basic principles of sharing the gospel, multiplication, the church can stretch and change the world and complete the Great Commission and see someone from every tribe, every language, every people group stand before the throne of Jesus and praise his name forever. And that's our mission. It's very exciting. So we need to be mobilized. I read this book, Rethinking Global Mobilization, and he's basically saying that, and really, really helped me think through this idea that there needs to be a global movement of the global church. We saw that in Asbury, didn't we? The Asbury revival. We were watching on our YouTube and everyone got encouraged that the gospel is working throughout the world. And we need more movements like that. We need these movements. We need a revival in the global church to share the gospel. I'm sorry, I'm going to just zoom through. Oh, there's no time. So yeah, Binscombe Church, let's every member of our church get behind the Great Commission, and let's see how the different ministries in our church, our small groups, our cell groups, our kids clubs, how can they be Great Commission ministries? How can they be ministries which magnify the name of Jesus, which send out people to the nations, which reach the nations with the gospel? And there's lots of different courses I'd really just recommend in missions, because it's something I really didn't think about before I went to Thailand. There's this course, Perspectives, which is a very affordable online course which you can do about global missions. It really blew my mind, really helped me think through this idea of God being a missionary God, and the importance of the Great Commission. There's Let the Nations Be Glad by John Piper. There's that book I mentioned on the mobilizing the global church for missions. For kids, if any kids here, there is just the most amazing kids in this church. And the next generation is so vital. Get them one of these missionary biographies, just get them thinking about missions. They could go anywhere. These kiddos of ours, they could go anywhere. They could do anything. They've got so much potential, just raw, latent, world-changing potential in this church through the next generation. And there's this guy, that's another book my friend Larry, who's been a missionary in Thailand for 40 years. Anyway, thank you guys for listening and for all your support. And let me just, please come and talk to me about Thailand. If you want to, I send the emails around through Sarah, but there's also a WhatsApp group. So if you're on WhatsApp and want to receive updates, sometimes it's easier if I can send more frequent updates on my WhatsApp group, just sending a photo or a prayer request. I'd love your partnership and prayers for the work in Thailand. So please come and talk to me if you'd like that, or I'll leave a sheet somewhere or something. If you could just put your number, I can add you to the WhatsApp group. And let me just end by praying for... Let's end by praying for this Great Commission that God's given us to all the peoples, and praying that the gospel can spread to all the peoples of the world. Thanks. I'll close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you that we know Jesus Christ through your Holy Spirit, and that through Jesus we know the Father. And through Jesus' blood, his death, his resurrection, we've become children of God. And that you've chosen, Lord, to use us, weak as we are and sinful as we are, that you've chosen us to be the salt and light of the world. You say a light on a hill cannot be hidden. And we want to just declare it to ourselves that we are the light of the world. We are the only hope for this world, because we're the only people with the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus. So we thank you for this amazing privilege of entrusting the gospel to us as a church. And we do pray that you'd help us, show us, Lord, how we can fulfill your Great Commission, how we can obey, follow your Great Commission to go and make disciples. And I pray for this church, especially the young people in this church, that you would send them to the nations, Lord. For our young people, we pray that they'd be inspired, Lord, they get a vision, and that you'd send them to the nations. And we pray not just for young people, for every member of this church would have the vision, the love, the passion, the zeal for the Lord Jesus that comes from your Holy Spirit. They'd be empowered by your Holy Spirit to go out and share the gospel with whoever they meet, with their friends, with their family, with their work colleagues, with the strangers they meet, that we could be the light of the world. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for this great privilege of being part of your gospel team. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter, over to you.
Thanks, John.